The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 569. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo.
Richard Bailey Jr. What's up, everybody?
What's up, everybody?
Brett Murdoch.
What up, party people?
Awesome. And Brian Manjoma.
Dear Jeff, I have decided not to endorse your video game.
Shoot, excuse me?
Oh, no.
Yeah, Brett, the timing, perfect.
I knew this. My Ravens told me so.
Yeah, like you didn't come in when I was in the middle of introducing someone. You came in as I finished introducing someone. Perfect segue.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, anyway, guys, we're back with another one. And you already know what the main topic is, so let's just get into it. High Guard, the next Concorde.
It's been 24 hours. Jeff Keighley has made fools of us all.
Here's the thing about that tweet of his, right? It was a tweet from Jurassic Park, John Hammond telling people, you're going to apologize to me in 2 hours, in two days. Did you not see how that movie ends, Jeff?
Yeah.
The fucking dinosaurs kill everybody.
There was another one that I thought was like he didn't realize the context of what he was saying.
Yeah, like I'll be accepting your apology in 48 hours. Mike, do you mean the T-Rex is going to escape and kill the fucking lawyer? Like that's what's going to happen? Anyway, go ahead, Brian. Oh,
it was the Joker. He was like,
yeah, the Joker.
He's like, and here we go. And then I just posted. Like low hanging fruit. So you know, and it was Alfred saying some people want to see the world burn, Master Wayne.
Yeah. It's crazy.
That was one reference.
Yeah.
Because when Grant just decides to not endorse the park at the end when everything goes to hell, and I decided not to endorse his game.
Yeah. So Brian, what are your thoughts on High Guard, man? And Brian, actually, before that, I want to commend you because you were the first person even before all these other YouTubers start talking about it. You were the first guy who were like, hey, how come there's no advertising for this game? So I want to commend you for that first. But yeah, what are your thoughts on this?
To be fair, I did see the discourse on Twitter first, and it did remind me that this game exists. Hence the question of, wait, hold on. My thoughts are, firstly, well done on getting that many people to play like a new game out the gate. Because again, that's really hard. I'm sure most people were just numbers to try things out. Two, I am not surprised things have gone the way they have, purely because a lot of people are saying that they just don't know enough about this game, and it just seemed odd, and it didn't really gel well with people, and the whole thing just seemed to be off. And I'm just having more fun reading Jeff's Twitter, because I think this is the most... this sounds weird. This is like the most normal I've seen Jeff Keighley ever on Twitter, because usually he's like, oh yeah, this game came out, like just posting just random stuff, sorry, promoting random stuff. This is the first time I think I've seen him actually have an opinion on something and say, I like this is what I like. And as you can see, the fallout has just been tremendously fun. So this weirdly makes Jeff seem a lot more human than what he's been as far as I remember him. So I'm weirdly happy that this happened, but not in a bad sense. Like, this makes me feel like, oh yeah, Jeff Keighley is just a normal guy. He's not an android. He's not a soulless person.
It humanized him. He's not flawless.
You know, that's an interesting perspective. I didn't think of it that way. I was just looking at him like, oh, here comes, Jeff McShilly again, you know? But you're right. He never gives his opinion So it is kind of interesting to see it, but I'm still not going to let him get away with all this stuff either, you know, because the whole thing's just been silly. But yeah, basically you have a bunch of people out there saying how, like, revolutionary this game is, how different it is. It's literally another fucking hero shooter. Now, to be fair, and please answer my question here, guys, has anybody on the panel played this thing?
No, of course not.
Yeah, and that's also a point too. Free game, nobody gives a fuck. Why? Because even, quote unquote, if it is doing something unique, it doesn't fucking look like it. It looks like some generic slop. So I'm like, there's nothing appealing about this shit to entice anybody to want to play in the first place. It is free and people can't be bothered to play it. You know it's bad. And then, you know, the things I have heard from people who have played it don't sound very rosy, that basically the loop is really boring. Like, you apparently spend like the first half of the match building walls and collecting shit. Then you get to kill people. You know, it's like, okay, so you're wasting half the match with people not doing anything. You know, and then the whole 3v3 aspect apparently people aren't happy with. But again, I wouldn't have played this anyway, even if it was good, just because it's not my type of game. But, you know, what did you expect? And I'm going to say this right now, right? Maybe famous last words, because I was wrong about the game being canceled. But I do think Marathon will be the next one. You know, I think people are genuinely done with these type of games, generally speaking, right? There's some exceptions, obviously, Marvel Rivals and stuff, but it's Marvel. It's, you know, and the characters look fucking cool, you know? But yeah, this shit dead on. It was like dead before it even arrived, you know? And then the thing I wanted to bring up, which I find very fascinating is, and I want to get you guys' take on it, a lot of people seem to think that had this game not been the last game shown at the Game Awards, that it wouldn't have received this much backlash, because if you're the last game at the Game Awards, there's a certain kind of level of expectation set, like, oh, this is going to be fucking big, you know? So people are like, hey, maybe if it wasn't shown last, if it was just thrown in randomly during the show, people are like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Oh, it just dropped today? Well, I'll check it out. But so I think that may be an aspect, but I want to hear your thoughts on that. Feel free to jump in, anybody.
Yeah, I mean, we read, or someone, I forgot who covered it, but I think it was Kotaku that said that this game wasn't supposed to be shown at the Video Game Awards. Mm-hmm. It was supposed to be a surprise drop, sort of how they did with Apex Legends when they were part of Respawn. And yeah, it like you mentioned, Tony, Jeff Keighley kind of weaseled his way to force them to show it. He's like, hey, well, you know, if you guys give me the exclusive, I'll probably put it last, you know, I'll put it last. It'll be the highlight game of the show. And I guess it was an offer that they couldn't refuse. So I think it was Jeff's fault.
Yeah, I agree.
he didn't allow this game to grow organically like it should have. It should have just been like, hey, this game called Highguard is releasing right now. It's from the makers of Titanfall and Apex Legends. And it's like, oh, like everyone's surprised. So they're like checking it out. But no, it's like this anticipation that everyone was expecting. And, you know, it didn't help when Jeff, you know, crossed his arms and was like, oh, you'll see. You'll thank me later. You'll
apologize to me, motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. Well, that added to it, it's like, yeah, people, you're just going to make people even more, what is it? What's the term? Like more, it'll critique the game more, even when it's undeserved. So, but I mean, obviously from what people have been talking about, it's like,
it's the word you're looking for.
Yeah. More. Yeah, exactly. So that's Jeff did all that. And all these, influencer dudes who were, or gaming journalists, whatever, whoever they were, hyping this game up right before it launched. They're like this huge thing was releasing that was going to change the world.
And they were hyping it up 3 days or something like that before launch or some shit, right? I was like, the timing for this was so strange. It's like they only really started marketing it like 3 days before launch, you know, and that's when they flew people out there, you know, and some of these people were hype men. I'm just going to say it, you know. It's interesting. Then, of course, Carlos, you know what happened after that? We're the fucking problem because we're not playing this game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, goddamn it! I should have known.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, we're the fucking problem, you know. And it's even gotten so petty. I don't know if you guys saw this. One of the developers over at Larian saying, maybe we should give game journalists reviews. Like, how petty can you get? You're here to make the game. We're here to critique it. What the fuck is wrong with you? What are you, a kid? Ooh, how about I review you instead? You know? But if you saw other developers outside of, you know, whoever makes this fucking game, you know, they were like, oh, it's so hard to make a game under these conditions. How about you make a game that doesn't fucking suck?
I mean, that's a divisive term. It's like, you don't know what's going to exactly hit or not.
It's insane. That's, you know,
It's like saying, hey, just make a good game. That's not an easy task. I would say this game is definitely indicative of the sameness of the industry, where they said, okay, we're a new studio. What do we do to try to get, you know, to get some money? All right, let's just make a hero shooter.
Yeah.
That
I think five years after the fact.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, here's the thing, like, if you look at the amount of time that it took them to develop, it was like 2-3 years, because a lot of these guys worked on, what was that game? Apex Legends. It's a lot of the Apex Legends people.
Yeah.
On this. So my guess is it's like, okay, you know, we all got let go. Well, let's see if we can get this thing out. It's almost the same type of, if you think about it, it's the same type of deal that they pulled with their first Titanfall. You remember with Titanfall was like, everybody was all like getting crazy for it, but then you find out it wasn't really much to that game.
Yeah, but people still ended up liking it, you know, even though there wasn't.
I mean, I feel like, you know, a lot. I feel like people liked it, but I think the reception of that game was enough to get them to play to do a two. But there was still a lot of complaints about that game, you know, not having a single player, only being an online mode, all the same things that we have right here in this new title.
Yeah, no, go ahead. No, just one quick aside. I find it very interesting that apparently on the game's Steam page at launch, it said developers also worked on Titanfall Apex Legends. By the end of the day, they removed that. And I'm wondering if those guys, if Respawn said, take that shit off, you know? You never know. Hmm. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, and just real quick, just to sort of piggyback what Manny said, it's like, you showed a game where we said, oh, this is the everything game. It's a hero mm-hmm. shooter, drop down mobile elements Apple and everything. It's like
gaming, bro.
Exactly. So it's like you're trying to get what is it? Lightning in a bottle. It's like five lightning strikes in one bottle. and Jeff said, oh, they're going to change the game. Like, okay, no, the hell they're not. They're not doing anything different than what anybody else is doing. They're just doing everything.
I mean,
so yeah. It's you know, Jeff, this is on you, man. You got to eat crow on this one. I'm pretty sure you're going to make fun of it in the next game awards, but you got to think about the studio, man. The studio, hopefully you feel bad for them, because you didn't do them any favors by this attitude.
Yeah. But yeah, no, some of the, you know, as I like to call it, the positive, toxicity? Stupid. You know, like, oh, you know, we, you know, a lot of people work really hard in this game. We can't shit on it. Fuck that. You know,
well, I mean, the thing about it is like, I think that's the problem, where it's like the pushback of it is not just like, hey, listen, just wait to see what it is. We'll see what's going on. Maybe they have a plan for it. You know, it's being something like that, as opposed to just being like an upstart and be like, well, fuck you. This thing's amazing. Mm-hmm. And you're stupid for not liking it. No, that's influencer bullshit.
Yeah.
That's not, and that's why all a bunch of the people started getting called out for being a bunch of fucking shills. Because there's a difference between, you know, showing a reveal and just being a person that's throwing this stuff out there. All of a sudden, a bunch of people just became these fans after seeing it's 2 seconds of footage. You know, yeah. I get it. You know, like that, you know, we know how the industry is, right? People don't get paid to do this sort of stuff, but I feel like this sort of like, you know, screw you, my thing is better sort of mentality that people seem to get when, you know, this evangelism sort of deal.
Yeah.
Especially when it's fucking journalists doing it. It's disgusting to me.
It is. It is, you know, like, oh, like, you know, I'm going to just call out names, PC Gamer. They had this one headline. It's like, oh, the game's great when you don't have the internet telling you it's bad. What?
So then what? So, okay. So then that means we don't need to read your fucking site because we, you know, because we just, you know, just not look at any of the things that you have to say. Here's the thing. I get it. You know, I can understand a person liking a game, you know, a game that's not, that's unpopular with the general public. A lot of the games I like are like that, right? Hmm. Brett, you know, a lot of us are like that. We like certain games. Some games are not the heavy hitters of the industry, but at the same time, we're not going to be, I'm not going to tell you how amazing the fucking Bouncer is. I like the Bouncer, but it's a shit game. You know,
we can all like junk food.
Yeah, like not every, exactly. You know, this is, you know, you can like the Terminator and you can like the Last Action Hero. It's it's what it is.
You know, if you eat nothing but steak, then steak, like, it's not special anymore. Like, it's, yeah. You know, we do the fucking Lunchables every once in a while to get us from point A to point B, right? Like, and that's the thing, like, a good healthy video game diet, you know, it consists of all kinds of different stuff. Sometimes, like, I'm playing Hades right now for the gameplay, right? Like, I'm not playing it for the story.
But it also is like you are well enough aware that what you, this is, it, what this is. It is what it is. You know, again, like I don't have an issue with people being liking the game, you know, to each his own, as the old saying goes. But I think when you start to try to essentially change the old open narrative and try to essentially throw so much of this stuff into people's faces to try to make the general zeitgeist think that this is a thing. I think that's a problem.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah, it is. Yeah, I only meant in the sense, like, sometimes you want to play Baldur's Gate. Sometimes your brain's like, bro, that's too much right now. And, like, that's, you know.
There's a saying that, sorry, Brett. There's a saying that I saw a short clip of Alan Moore where he's like, listen, you know, you want to read all the great books out there. But also, you know, from time to time, read a shitty book, too. Because, it also tells you, like, okay, you know, these things exist as well, right? You don't, you know, you can say to yourself, hey, I could do better than fucking that. So I feel like, you know, play a shitty game every so often, but.
So you're telling people, sorry, you're encouraging people to play High Guard then?
If they want to.
I mean, not that shitty. Not that shitty. Interests them. Like, there's limits.
If it, I say if it interests them, but I say at the same time, but I feel like we should be a lot more level-headed when it comes to doing this stuff. In general, it is the general public that makes a decision as to what things are successes and failures. It's not you throwing a bunch of propaganda and a bunch of bullshit out there to try to make people's mind, to make people think, you know, think that this is the way it is. Like, that's not how it works.
The whole trying to shame people into liking a game stuff never works, man. Go ahead, Carlos.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. It's like it feels more like they're not trying to tell you their feelings about the game. They're trying to tell you how to feel about it.
Yes.
And that's the fucked up part.
They're not telling you their feelings. They're telling you your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck that.
Exactly. Noise. Yeah. Yeah. You know,
yeah,
it's like, I will say, like, for anyone that says, oh, well, I guess no one can hype up a game anymore. It's like, no, you can. I mean, Elden Ring was hyped up to all hell before it came out, you know? And it lived up and surpassed those expectations. So it's like, come on.
People don't want you to hype up bad games. That's the thing. When it's so blatantly obvious you're shilling for something bad, that's the problem, you know?
It's a weird sort of thing because it's like that game, there is nothing special looking about that game. There's another game that's also making, you know, some people are really enjoying. It's got a lot of really cool looking different types of characters, monsters and all kinds of things. Again, same sort of hero shooter idea, but the vibe on that game seems to be a lot better than this game.
Which one is that?
Just like, I can't remember the name. I keep seeing the like the artwork for it and, you know, some gameplay footage, like early gameplay footage. A lot of people seem to be liking that game. I don't know what it is.
Somebody look it up, because Manny could be making some shit up right now.
I'm not hallucinating. No, I'm not hallucinating. I'm not fucking AI. So, there's this game that I can't remember. It's just like has all kinds of fun characters. Like they're like monsters and they could transform into other selves or something like that. So they have each like a hero shooter. Like each character has their different ability. Kind of like a few of the ones that are out there. But anyway. that one seems to be getting a little bit more attention than whatever Highgarde is getting, because it's just, it looks like something. It has like a stylized cartoony style. But I feel like there's nothing too Highgarde. It doesn't really look like
generic.
Anything that's, it just looks generic. It's like, okay, you know, whatever.
Yeah. And again, like I said, the game may have something unique in it, but no one cares because they're not going to play because it looks generic. You know, that's the problem. You got to get people
and then
in.
And again, like everybody said, we knew absolutely nothing about this game. They literally just showed the game and then disappeared almost a month. For what? Like, what are you selling this game on? Because the gameplay, was it only a 2 minute or 1 minute trailer?
Yep.
Was that supposed to impress us to want to play this thing?
Yeah. Rich, get in here, man. I want to hear your thoughts on your personal game of the year.
Well, first and foremost, this has been a very entertaining conversation. I was doing a lot of laughing. That's why I had to keep myself muted. First and foremost, I agree a lot of what was said. I know, Tony, you made the comment that some people were saying because it was the last game shown at the Game Awards. I am 100% in that camp also, because obviously we have been built up to expect the last thing, this one last announcement, to be fantastic. We've seen it in the Sony showcases, the Xbox, whatever. So when they showed this, everyone collectively was like, why was this the last game shown? And I would give a shout out to Mr. Carlos Romero, because he made an outstanding point when we were talking about the show, that throughout that entire show, there's a lot of stuff that they could have saved, like the Divinity game that could have ended the show. They could have spent the whole time teasing it, and then they could have showed that to close out the show. It makes perfect sense. But obviously, Jeff Keighley really liked this game, so I guess he decided, no, I'm going to end the show with this. And I think a lot of people was like, no. And I will say this, I know this has been a very tough week. There's been a lot of highly guarded individuals talking positively about this game. I just want to make a comment and say I find it funny. Oh, yeah. I just make a comment and say I find it funny. These same people also question, why was this the last game shown? And it feels as though they have all changed their tune now, because they're playing the game and they're like, oh, this is great. So I think that's very interesting. It's very fascinating, actually. But overall, I mean, I know you asked, did anybody play the game? Absolutely not, Tony. I don't think anyone here on Throwdown is playing the game. I know Carlos and Chris did say they were going to give their reviews, so I'm very disappointed that neither one of them have anything to say about the gameplay. But no, listen, I'm not surprised with what happened with the game. One last comment I will make, you made the mention about the Larian, I believe someone at Larian making that comment. I saw that guy came out and now tried to correct what he was saying.
Of course.
Because, and this is why I say, you know, this is why I don't really necessarily, I watch Twitter. I don't use Twitter and make comments on Twitter. I just look and see when something happens, when people are going to say something, you know, outrageous, and then they people get riled up. Because I knew when I saw that original comment, oh, they're going to come after this guy. And yes, that's exactly what happened. So, I will say, if these people want to say something, they should think about what they're going to say before they put it out there, because people will be coming after them.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens with Highgarde.
I will have to respond to Rich's comment, since I was implied in it. Yes. Rich, you'll get my thoughts on Highgarde at the end of the year special show. That's all I'll say.
Well, try to play it now, because I don't think that game's going to be listed for much longer.
Oh, there's different categories to the end of the year show, as there usually is.
Yeah,
that is true. So I want to read something from the CEO of the studio that made Highgarde. He goes, look, I wish Highgarde had been received better. I wish the feedback had been better. Part of that's on us, right? We didn't put our heads in the sand. We as a team saw the feedback. We're gamers ourselves. We're online ourselves, reading the feedback. I think ultimately we could have made a different trailer, a better trailer that wasn't about entertaining, which is what we think was about. So basically, I you know, he did go on to say that he felt that the trailer they made was just, you know, trying to just quote unquote entertain people, to show them what the fucking game was about. But I don't think that would have helped in the end either.
No, you know? I mean yeah, that's the entire point.
Yeah, go ahead, bro.
Okay, go ahead.
I mean, it's not about a trailer, right? I was watching Tim the Tatman was streaming the game, right? And he had a hard time keeping his boys in the game. They were leaving. Mm-hmm. They're literally like, this is boring as shit. Like, the maps are laid out, like, just flat, and there's just not a lot going on, right? You have, in a hero shooter, you usually have tight corners, you have a place you can hide and snipe and all sorts of gameplay. Apparently, the level design is not that great. And a lot of the complaints I see is that the game is boring, right? And then if people drop off, then you can't even get a match. So what the hell are you going to do? So it's not a trailer. It's not like you didn't sell it, right? I mean, Jeff Keighley pumped your game up, put it at the end of the show. It's not about the trailer. Like, everything from the top down has to be enticing for people to get into it. Who is your audience for this game? You look at those characters, it's like, well, what the hell is up with this guy? You know, all the character designs look either generic or odd. And then, you know, then you don't have the gameplay, the kind of the pacing to keep up with hero shooters. Like, people are expecting something comparable to Fortnite or, you know, Overwatch, and you don't have that. So, you know, you're going to blame a trailer? And you're going to say part of it's on you? No, all of it's on you. Like, every single thing from the top down is your responsibility. So I don't understand that statement.
Yeah, no, it's a silly. Then, you know, he went on to say that, like, oh, Jeff's a good friend. He wanted to showcase us, so we said yes. Like, okay. Like, although I am with you, Carlos. I do think it is Jeff Keighley's fault. Like, he effectively killed this game, like, or killed it faster, you know? So I don't think it would have been a smash hit, but I think it would have had a better chance. You know, maybe people play like, hey, you know, some cool stuff going on, but what about this? What about that? Maybe give this a shot. Maybe you could have had a No Man's Sky situation. But people already scrutinizing it to high hell to begin with. Then it comes out, the game's fucking generic, dead. So,
I mean, yeah. I feel like that's an economical answer. I mean, to be honest, like, you know, most of these game developers would be like, you know, you're not smart enough to know what's going on. You shouldn't be playing, you know, like, at least he's admitting the failure as opposed to like the other way around where it's like, in other words, he's not doubling down on it.
Yeah. It would be nice if the people defending the game would be like the CEO, we would be in a better spot, wouldn't we?
Like, yeah, like, think about that compared to something like the last Dragon Age game, where they legitimately told everybody they were stupid for not liking this game. I mean, obviously he is a person that understands that it is the public that makes the decision as to what the game is, you know, what the game is. But yeah, like, I think what this game suffers from, and he didn't admit this, is that it's essentially everything in the kitchen sink about what's going on in multiplayer / hero shooter / whatever type of gaming with horses.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's ironic, right? It's like the CEO is coming out level-headed. It's the people surrounding it that are stupid. Like, oh, you don't play this game, you're a bigot or whatever, you know? It's silly, man. Anyway, any last thoughts before we move on? All right, gonna take that as a no.
Was it faster? Which one was faster? you know, Concord or this one?
Well,
we have to wait
the servers to shut down. If they shut down the servers yes, in the right. next like 3 days, then I guess this wins.
if it helps, and this is a really damning point at Concord, this game still has not reached the it has not gone down to Concord's high play count. Which is, like, it still has about 8,000 players. Concord barely did 1,000.
So it's like, ugh. So, yeah.
I know.
So, yeah. I mean, maybe that's enough. Who knows? You know?
Oh, no. This game's been canned. Like, it won't last till next game. Sure.
Well, you know what's going to happen next, right, Brian? Studio closure, man.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. Go ahead, man.
And this is something that you said earlier when they removed the... this is the people that brought you Concord and...
Mm-hmm.
Not Firefall or Firewatch.
Titanfall and Apex Titanfall. Legends. Yeah.
Yes.
Apex Legends.
Yeah. I want to know what this team did on those games.
Yeah, because they took out the part where it's like, yeah, they were also worked on Concord. We saw how that game came out.
Yeah, that was the other thing. Like, it didn't say that from some of the people that worked on Concord either. It just said Titanfall and Apex Legends. It's like that thing that they did on that that Russo Brothers films with the robots. It's like, from the people that made Avengers Endgame. It's like, yes, they made that. They made that thing, but this is not as good as that thing.
Yeah.
So maybe that would be like on the list of like red flags if ever something starts out as from the people that bought you this thing. It's like, oh, the game's trash.
Yeah, that's great.
They do it all the time. I mean, they did it with the what was it, the Callisto Protocol. They're like, you know, the creator of Dead Space. They do that all the time,
yeah.
They did all that stuff all the time. They, you know, it's obvious, although, especially when it's a new IP like that, they're always going to go hopping to the most familiar name on the bill or the familiar things that they've done.
Yeah. No, you're right. All right, man, let's move on. Let's talk about Xbox. Xbox hardware sales. Not looking so good. So I'm going to read this off of IGN here. Xbox has been having a hard time selling consoles lately, and it didn't get any better over the 2025 holiday quarter. Microsoft has just reported its quarter 2 2026 earnings, including the news that hardware sales were down 32% year over year after quarter upon quarter upon quarter of hardware declines. So even though we don't have actual numbers to tell how much revenue is being lost out on here, we can get a sense of how grim this is for the hardware by looking at past quarters. Last quarter, quarter one of 2026, hardware declined 29% year over year. The quarter before that, quarter four of 2025, hardware was down 22%. The quarter before that, down 6%. Before that, down 29%. And before that, 29%. In quarter one of 2021, which was July through September 2024. Going back even further, though, Microsoft's earnings reports, the prior year quarters also saw declines of 42% in quarter four 2024 and 31% in quarter three. In fact, you have to go all the way back to quarter two 2024, which was October through December of 2023, to find the last time Xbox's hardware revenue was better during that period. And that year was before it was up a whopping 3% over the quality quarter. So that is like years and years and years and years of just... And the reason I wanted to bring this up is because, you know, this report came out yesterday and some people are trying to say, oh, but the division's still doing well. It's up 9%. I'm like, look at the last 3 years, bro. Like, it's just on a fucking decline, you know? And as we've said here, and ironically, I said this 10 years ago. The only hope is the next generation, but who the fuck knows now? Bro, I said the same thing with the Xbox One generation. I'm like, this shit's done. The next generation, maybe they could turn it around. That didn't happen. So maybe they could do a next generation, but probably not. I think Xbox is done, at least for hardware. Third-party developer, it is, you know, that's doing very well for Xbox, you know? And I think that's probably what accounted for the 9% increase, you know, because the hardware, you know, the software is selling very well for obvious reasons. They're selling their shit on PlayStation now, you know? As a matter of fact, I even heard, and this is coming from IGN too, but this was on their podcast where they were speculating on shit, and they were like that they heard, and take this with a heavy grain of salt, that Xbox's, you know, the developer directs or whatever, they do so poorly. Xbox is considering doing a PlayStation-centric developer direct. That tells you everything you need to know right there, man. Take that with a grain of salt, but those sales numbers I've been telling you, that's all in stone, you know? So... yeah, I don't know how anybody could be a dedicated Xbox player at this point. What do you have left? You got nothing, you know?
Third-party games?
Yeah, on PlayStation.
Shit, Sony barely does PlayStation Direct, PlayStation Focus.
That's right, yeah.
So let me turn that question around on you.
Mm-hmm.
What would I need my PlayStation for exactly? Spider-Man?
Yeah, but we're talking about we're talking about.
No, Xbox I know, here. But like,
this
I,
is about whataboutism. Like, we don't do that.
No. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You just said like, what do I even need my Xbox for? I'm like, yeah. I mean, what do I do with like that? That's a blanket statement across both things. Don't get me wrong. Xbox is absolutely a failure, but like, just pointing out that it is kind of whataboutism, but it's more that I'm trying to say like, man, this is an industry wide problem. This is not just an Xbox thing.
PlayStation hasn't had hardware decline like that over the last 4 years.
No. Well, I mean, in terms of like
the PlayStation 5. Yeah, no, again, the topic is hardware sales at the moment. PlayStation hasn't had bad hardware sales. Matter of fact, the PS5 is one of the best-selling PlayStations, believe it or not.
No.
Which surprises me, too.
I was responding to what you said. I think it got lost in translation. It's not really worth it. It kind of sounds like whataboutism, but it's. I was going somewhere with it, but it's honestly not important. It's like punching a baby at this point, though. Like, it's,
baby it's or like, retard? Yeah,
a retarded baby.
Okay, damn.
Holding a retarded puppy. Like, it's just like, all right, like, maybe give it a sec. Maybe give them a sec to, like, you know, catch their breath before you come rock out. I mean, like, honestly, right now, Microsoft is looking like, what was his name? Fucking Logan Paul or his brother? I can't tell which one of them.
I don't know either.
during that last fight when he just looked like he was seeing God, like, that's pretty much Microsoft right now. It's at this point, it's like, nobody should expect anything until their next generation. And even then, like, you shouldn't expect anything, but definitely nothing before. Like, if they're smart, I'm not saying they are. If they're smart, they're rallying their troops. They're consolidating. They're coming back. They're doing the spirit bomb, right? They're trying to get all their energy together for one last Hail Mary, because they, like, if we know that they have one at bat left, then they know they have one at bat left. And that's being generous. They may not have any at-bats left. Microsoft might just be like, the parent company might be like, fuck you guys. But I feel like they're going to fall prey to sunk cost fallacy, and Microsoft might be like, you know what? Maybe if we have a hand in this, it'll be better. And it won't. It won't. I'm just clarifying where I think we stand in the grand scheme of things.
Well, Brett, if what I think you're saying is accurate, that I think that's part of the problem. Microsoft did start getting more involved in Xbox, and things have just gotten worse. Because before, they kind of left Xbox to their own devices. But after, you know, yep, the Activision thing, is like, we're going to get more hands-on now.
Yep. I mean, do you want me to explain corporate structure or use common sense? You can't do both.
Just use common sense, because we don't want to go through and down a crazy rabbit hole.
No, that's my point. Like, yeah, yes, Microsoft got their hands in Xbox's shit, which caused Xbox to tank even worse than it was.
Mm-hmm.
Is Microsoft as a company going to realize that their own inept interference is the thing that caused it to nosedive? No, they're going to double down and try and wrest control, because somebody up there, some fucking suit up there, is be like, I know how to fix this. And they don't. They don't. Like, what they need to do is reach into the trenches of their talent and get ideas and, like, take ideas from their customers. But you know it's going to be some schmuck in a boardroom that gets handed the reins.
Yeah, well, that I honestly believe that's what's happening now. We talked about this on the show maybe a year and a half ago. I think it was Colin Moriarty that brought this up. It's like, the thing that really ultimately killed Xbox, that, you know, things Xbox was not doing great to begin with, the thing that really killed it was that Activision buyout, because it brought so much scrutiny from the government that Microsoft had to step in and like, what the fuck is going on here? We're taking this shit over. And then they lost their all entire identity. You know, it's yep, sad. Go ahead, bro.
That's my best friend, Colin.
It's Colin Moriarty. Yeah, man. It's, you know, it is what it is, man. Xbox is not going to die, but hardware may, but Xbox will still be around, you know, as a brand. All right, let's move on. Our favorite segment of the week, the weekly Ubisoft L, because they always keep coming. So now this one, Ubisoft launches voluntary redundancy process to cut 200 jobs from Paris Head. Voluntary redundancy means you quit. They're enticing people to quit.
Yep.
It's crazy. And it's gotten to a point that the people in the Paris office, because the CEO, Yves Guillemot, was going to visit. They're like, you're not welcome here. Like, damn, You guys are mutinying against the CEO? This is crazy. Let me read this real quick. This is from Game Industry Biz. The latest target of Ubisoft's external cutbacks is its head office, with 200 roles proposed to be cut from Ubisoft International in Paris. The company has started a voluntary redundancy program to deliver the cuts, with delivery to be negotiated with trade unions. Game Industry Biz understands the number represents 18% of the unit staff. I fucking hate corporate talk, man. Just talk like regular fucking people. You're like, we're asking 200 people to quit. Say that, you know?
Well, it's a little more nuanced than that. So what you have is when you have voluntary redundancy, reduction in force, voluntary. You're giving people enhanced severances, right? So you're offering them like buyouts for their position. Like you can leave. We'll give you a severance. I don't know what those packages is in Europe, but they're probably enticing enough. Like, hey, you should step away from this, because what comes next is compulsory redundancy reduction, which is you get laid off. Right?
Yeah.
There's going to be no severance, nothing. You're just gone. Your position is eliminated. If it's redundant, then that redundancy, I guess, is overlaps Ubisoft Montreal, or it overlaps really who I think is calling the shots. It's Tencent who wants this 200 million euro cost cut, right? They want to focus on certain titles, and they don't need that structure of Ubisoft anymore. So just eliminating the jobs. It's just, I mean, more and more Ubisoft is just going to be an arm of Tencent until they rename it. And they're restructuring it right now in front of us. It's just happening very slowly.
Okay. That's a good point. Ubisoft or Tencent. Oh, man. This one of the employees said, "It is time to make our boss understand he is not welcome in our premises." Wow.
Wow. Well, viva la revolution.
You know, fucking French. That's funny. Okay, so let me read the full statement here. "It is time to make our boss understand that he is not welcome on our premises as long as he continues to mistreat his employees. We call on the employees of Ubisoft Paris to stop working if Yves Guillemot steps foot in our offices. Leave your desks and gather in front of the building." Fuck. That's crazy, man. You know, he can just fire all you motherfuckers, right? Just saying. "This is an initial answer to the absurdity of management decisions. Other strikes are currently being discussed. It is out of the question to let the boss run wild and destroy our working conditions. Perhaps we need to remind the boss that his employees are the ones who make the games." Fuck. Having a revolution at Ubisoft, man. They're going to chop off Yves Guillemot's head, you know, put him in the guillotine and shit. Is that what's going to happen?
Hey, man, the French are known for doing that.
That's right, you know. Let him eat cake. Chop your head off, bitch. It's crazy. What happened, Brett?
Nothing.
Oh, man, if that was a French joke, please say it, because, yeah. Anyway, so that's your latest Ubisoft L of the week. They keep coming. I think there was another one too, but I thought it was the main one. So this one's related. This more broader one, you know, because obviously we've been talking about layoffs in the industry for a while now, you know, specifically over the last 2 years. Now we actually have numbers. Apparently, 1/3 of the entire video game industry workers were laid off in the last 2 years. 1/3. That's insane, bro. You know, but again, we talked about this many, many times. Why did that happen? Because of COVID. Let's just be real. They hired a shit ton of people. The good times are going to roll forever. We got enough money to throw around. Reality hit. Got to let motherfuckers go, you know, especially when games aren't selling as well and people aren't buying like they were during that one specific year.
Yep.
So, yeah, very upsetting right there. And I guess, you know, I'm not going to get too much into this, but, you know, on a related note, I can't talk about it now since the news is out. You know, there were also some people let go at my company recently, very upset about that. Matter of fact, if you guys heard, you know, Windows Central, they let go of their entire gaming division except for Jez Corden. You know, shit is brutal right now. That's not part of the, that's the part of the tech industry, not the game industry, but it goes to show how, you know, things are rough out there, man. But I didn't realize that's how stark this shit was. A third, bro. Or nearly a third, because I think it says 28%. That's pretty close to a third, you know? But here's what it says. Those at AAA studios were highly likely to have experienced layoffs at their companies. Two-thirds of respondents at AAA studios say their companies had layoffs. One-third of people working at indie studios reported the same. Wow, so the AAA got hit even worse than indies.
Well, I mean, usually, yeah. Like, usually when it comes to indies, they can be sort of malleable.
Yeah.
But it's like when it comes to the big guys, it could be, you know, their thing is not a situation of they can't support those people. It's a situation of their investors.
Yes. Know? Yes.
Showing that they're investors, that they're making money, you know?
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. And it's like, what's the best way to inflate your numbers? Fire a bunch of people. Just how it is, man. Fucked up. It's a fucked up calculus, but that's how it is. All right, moving on here. This one's kind of interesting. This is a report or a leak, so take it how you will. The claim is that at launch, GTA 6 will not have a physical version to avoid spoilers and leaks and shit. Because it makes sense, because these games usually come out maybe a week or two to the public, like, or at least in stores. You know, some guys, what they like to do, you know, they like to take the shit home, start playing it, or sell it to their buddies early. I've been the recipient of that myself sometimes. So this is what the report claims. None of this is official, but it would be interesting. I would assume, you know, there would obviously be some people that are upset about this, but since most people buy games digitally, I don't think it's going to hurt sales too much. And there probably will be, you know, physical edition, obviously collectors and all that. But that is an interesting tactic to avoid, like, spoilers, you know? I've never really heard that before.
I mean, it also could be the fact that, you know, sometimes you might be releasing a broken game.
Uh-oh. Well, and the thing is, the game's still going to come out on time, you know?
No, I mean, like, a broken launch, like, a launch game that may need some patches, you know, what we call negligible issues, right? So once you have a lot of those patches and things coming out at the beginning, then you can pressure disk. So they're pushing their goal.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay.
I can understand them trying to not to do spoilers, but I also think that it also might be a situation of they're not going to get that shit done on time. And when you release a gold master, you have to have a pretty close to working, you know, a pretty good working game. Unlike, and that's what Cyberpunk got caught into. And that's, you know, remember they released a pretty much a game that wasn't even fully finished on disc. So they probably don't want that to happen with GTA. Again, speculation, but that could be another reason why they're doing a late physical release.
Yeah, it's an interesting take. Yeah, go ahead.
I got the more cynical view.
Uh-oh.
Although I will admit,
Manny's take was pretty cynical too, by the way, just saying.
this is more cynical than Manny's. Shout out to Manny. That is true.
Excuse me?
More cynical. Here's the thing. It does make sense to not release the most highly anticipated game and have the chance of it to, you know, for someone to leak it somewhere, you know, and have it, you know, people having played it before it even comes out. But it also makes sense, and it's also really convenient that people like that want to buy the physical copy of their most highly anticipated game are not going to want to wait after day one to play it.
Yeah.
So they're going to double dip.
Oh shit, that's a cynical take.
And it's just so conveniently placed where it's like we have a good excuse to have a huge market, all the whales double dipping on this title because they want to play it day one, but they also want the physical version of the game. And that's just my take.
Yeah, that's fun. I like that one. Yeah, what do you think, Rich?
So I would like to make a even more cynical take.
Whoa!
Manny and Carlos, and just say what we all know. You know damn well a lot more stuff about GTA 6 is going to leak before it even comes out, because we've already seen the leaks happen with some of the stuff already with the game. I'm telling you, just stay tuned. I'm pretty sure we're going to learn more about this game and see a lot more before it even hits the stores.
Yeah, you might be right about that. But yeah, again, take that with a grain of salt, but we'll see what happens. All right, and then on good news, this is the complete opposite of Highguard. Helldivers 2 has sold, or reportedly sold, so this is not official yet, reportedly sold 20 million copies and generated $700 million in revenue. Damn. That's crazy. See, that's what happens when you make a game that people want to play, you know? So
that's crazy, man. That's really, I mean, we knew this from the beginning because this game from the jump went crazy. So yeah, good for them, man. That's, you know, it's good to celebrate successes, but it's also good to critique the failures.
You have to get that balance, right?
Jeff?
No. People made the game. You have to be good to it. You have to like everything that people create. That's, you know, oh, people worked on it. You have to like it. No, I don't. Fuck out of here with that shit. So yeah, again, that's this.
Well, weren't those same people saying that, shitting on Stellar Blade?
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, the same exact people. You have to love Highguard. People work very hard on it. I think people work hard on Stellar Blade. You weren't saying that about it.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. I may have to tweet about that. Like, hey, where were you guys? You know?
I mean, to be honest, you know, pot calling the kettle black sounds a little bit more racist.
Excuse me?
Sounds a little racist to me.
Yo, why gotta be black?
The Korean game gets all the heavy handedness, and yet this game, you know, oh, you got to be real nice to the developers. I don't know. Seems a little bit interesting to me.
Let's put a pin on it. Let's wait for the next big Asian game to come out. And that gets scrutinized. And let's see what these people have to say about that. Because people worked on those games too. They worked hard on them, right? Just saying.
You know that game, the Game Freak game? What's the Samurai Girl, what's that one called? It's like
you're talking about something.
Whatever. They showed at the showcase, right?
Yeah. So
the Beast of Reincarnation.
Yes.
I want to see the comparisons because these guys were shaming people for not playing or supporting Ghost of Yote. Wait till people start buying this game and getting into it. I want to see the comments then from these same people.
Yeah.
That's the game I think where we're going to see massive hypocrisy.
People worked on those games too. You know, saying they worked on them.
They make Pokemon games, and you don't like them? No.
Developers worked hard on those games. Why aren't you supporting it? Why are you talking shit? Just saying, man. All right. And the last thing I want to talk about is I want to give you guys a little my hands-on impressions. Resident Evil Requiem, people.
Whoa!
So I also went to an event. I was treated to a coffee and those donut balls. So, you know, my view is very biased, obviously.
So
paid off.
So pretty much what Ron Perlman made for doing the original Fallout game.
Yes. Got a coffee, very, very good coffee. Dunkin' Donuts coffee, Dunkin' Donuts donut balls. I think that's what that sounds nasty. Donut balls, like, yo, what the donut fuck? Yo, you put the balls in your mouth, motherfucker. That's what you like. Munchkins. You like eating the balls.
Yeah, I mean, munchkins, you could say that.
Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
No, we can't trust. This is Far Cry Primal all over again, Tony.
Yeah, I know, that's right. Yeah, I can't trust my opinion. Rich, remember that I wrote that review for Far Cry Primal for Coalition? Yeah. These motherfuckers came after me. You got
absolutely
paid off.
I remember that.
Yeah, I got paid off. Rich, you paid me a lot of money, right?
Yeah, that's right. We're all rolling in dough. That's right, yeah.
And before I get to the preview, I just want to bring that up because while there are some people that go to these events and they are swayed by shit, not your boy. Remember, man, like I said, perfect example, you know, I got flown out to fucking Seattle for a Contra event. Thank you, Konami. Free hotel, food, drinks. I said this game's bad.
Free hotel, food, drinks. Your boy worked on
That's
the game.
It. Yeah, man, he worked on the fucking game. I'm like, no, it's bad. You know? So yeah, but full disclosure, yes, I got paid in one coffee and about three munchkins or whatever the fuck you... That sounds worse than... I mean, munchkins now? You know,
well,
like,
yeah, I mean,
donut holes.
Donut holes, I guess. I mean, yeah.
Donut holes and munchkins. That's what they're called, the munchkins at the
Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
Dunkin'
Donuts. But it's like I'm eating like the fucking, you know, the munchkins from like fucking, you know,
Munchkin Land.
Yeah. Like I'm devouring them.
You're eating the Lollipop Guild.
I was more thinking about Willy Wonka, but sure.
But he had those.
Oh, those are Oompa Loompas.
Anyway, so yeah, so the demo I played, it was 3 hours long, and it was interesting because it was like bookended with Leon, right? Like 30 minutes of Leon, 2 hours of Grace, last half hour of Leon, right? Completely different play styles, right? And I think the marriage works well because Leon is all about run and gun. Like, right before we started the demo, they're like, yo, with Leon, don't worry about conserving ammo. Don't worry about health. Go fucking ham, you know? And that's exactly what I did. I got to fight a boss. That was really cool. You know, you had your typical Resident Evil. You're trapped inside a room and a bunch of zombies are just crashing through the window and they get crazier with everyone. That was really fun. Then the Grace section, very classic Resident Evil, where you're like going through the mansion, trying to find items and shit, doing puzzles so you could move on to the next thing. But with her, it was all about conserving your ammo and everything. Even though they still gave you, in my opinion, a fair amount of ammo to use. And if you're good with it, you know, you were fine. But yeah, you definitely had to be more judicious with stuff. It did get to a point where I got annoyed. I'm like, y'all don't have, I ran out of fucking inventory space. I had to just chuck shit. I did finally get like a pouch, like expand everything. But it's so interesting. And here's the, okay. So you could switch the camera modes whenever you want, right? But I noticed that for Leon, it defaults to third person. Whereas with Grace, it defaults to first person. Again, you could change them whenever you want on the fly. You could play the entire game with both characters in first person or third person. But I did find that interesting, right? That you kind of defaulted. It to me, it kind of shows like, hey, here's the classic Resident Evil 4 experience, and here's the Resident Evil 7 experience, right? And going back between them was really kind of like, oh, okay, that's interesting. Like, after playing 2 hours with Grace, where you're just like conserving ammo and you're just like kind of scared of everything, it's just catharsis to get to play as Leon and just, you know, get a fucking shotgun and blow zombies' heads off, you know? Game is fantastic, man. I'm really glad they gave us, you know, a good amount of time, because with Grace's sections, you don't want to rush through that shit. You know, you want to take your sweet time, man. Looks great, obviously, the RE engine doing its thing. I played it on a PS5. I think it was a regular PS5. It wasn't a PS5 Pro. And I heard that the PS5 Pro version is going to have, like, you know, a lot of, like, bells and whistles, you know, higher frame rates, all that good jazz. But, you know, I was already sold on this shit, bro, because I played another demo last year, and it was just Grace, right? And I like how this demo actually picks up where that one left off, you know? And the other demo landed on a cliffhanger. I'm like, oh, gonna happen here. So you actually kind of learn the answer there. I'm hyped, man. You know me, I love Resident Evil, man, so I'm already there. And Chris, I already know you're gonna be there, man, so it's gonna be good stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm very excited. I'm very excited for it. Just a little bit, I saw, I haven't experienced anything yet. I know a demo, maybe the one you played leaked or got released for like a few minutes, so that's making its way all over, but I haven't tried that.
Yeah, because, and I could be wrong about this, I think the original demo I played was available, so I'm going to assume this one is going to be as well, you know? And Capcom, you know, they're always confident with these Resident Evil games, so I'm stoked, man. By the way, I love the fact that the big gun you get in the game is called the Requiem, this giant fucking revolver, you know? And it's funny because in the demo, I'll say this, it's not really a spoiler, like, Leon gives the Requiem to Grace, but it only has one bullet. So I only used the shit when a big monster showed up. I was like, I better save this shit. But Chris, you know what ended up happening though? I ran out of space. I'm like, you know what? Let me just put the fucking Requiem away. You know, too much space, man. You got your typewriters and shit. Oh man. So I'm just talking about it's getting me hyped again, bro. You know, but again, you know, don't take my opinion for it because I was a paid shill. You know, I got that cup of coffee, You know, by the way, that's something I was talking to Paris about. You know, we talking shit about the High Guard stuff. And he's like, okay, he's like, I guess me and Danny were paid off because we got free parking and a sandwich. Because they drove there, you know, they didn't get flown. They're in L.A. They just drove, you know. Very interesting stuff, man. But yeah, that's going to do it for this show. So let's start wrapping it up and plug some stuff. Rich, what's coming up on the Coalition, sir?
Yeah, so February is a jam-packed month of releases. I'm actually working on a couple of reviews that you will see in the not-too-distant future. So I would encourage you to stay tuned to the coalition.com as well as the Coalition Gaming. You may see some of this stuff sooner than you think. And that's all I can say for now.
Yeah. And, you know, you may or may not see a dual review from me and Rich very soon. So, you know, that's all I'll say about that. You know, because there's, you know, the streams cross sometimes, right, Rich?
Oh, yeah.
That's all I'll say about that. But, you know, you and I will obviously definitely be doing a double review for Resident Evil when that shit drops, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, Capcom, they hook us up. So we'll get that code for sure. Manny, what's on the plate?
So out on the streets right now is Blood and Thunder. Has cover by Kari Randolph and myself. So that's the book by Robert Kirkman, written by Robert Kirkman and drawn by EJ. You know, Tech Jacket crew, pretty much all Tech Jacket crew on these books. So, yep, we're gonna have our little cover run. If you were at, I don't know how many of you were at the Boston Celtics game recently, but if you're looking at Kari and my social media, you may have noticed that there was a special edition cheer card that for everybody who were in the one of the all the lower rows of the TD arena. And yeah, so it's a cool print/illustration that was exclusive to everybody, a bunch of the people who went to that event. Kari and I have a series of illustrations that we're going to be at the Boston Celtic games, so stay tuned for those if you're a sports head. Then lastly, TMNT Battle Nexus number 5 coming real soon. I think it's going to be coming in March. Another cover by Kari and myself. TMNT 2003 team on our side, and 2012 director drawing the other side on a cool jam cover. So yeah, that's what's up.
All right. All right, start wrapping it up. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube. Join the Discord. Check us out on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight, I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
It has been real, party people.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
And Brian Majoma.
Later, guys.
All right, guys. We'll see you on Sunday, man. Later.
Laters.
Peace.